Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time now for EEI Late Night with KJ.
Red Sox review here on WEEI. Yes, the Red Sox avoid a four-game losing streak, beat the A's 8-1 in what I've been preaching. Jump on them early, get the opposing pitcher in the shower by 8:30. At least with a 7:10 start. That's what they did tonight. I'm going to tell you right now, Chavis looks pretty good in that leadoff spot in terms of one, because Kike Hernandez is not here. Chavis with a couple of doubles gets the party started. That's what sets this team off. I mean, I'm not going to do this for 162 games, but you're not going to see a whole lot of home runs out of the park of this team, even though you did see some tonight. It was good to see Dalbec make some solid contact, get the ball out of the park. Xander with just a bean shot. I don't know. If it wasn't for one replay, I didn't think it hit the pole. I thought it just went where the old bowling alley used to be. But well enough, the Red Sox get out of their slump, win 8-1. 617-779-7937 or 37937. Your comments, your calls, your text are all welcome about what you saw with tonight's game and how does it look moving forward going into the series with the Angels, who are underperforming. I'll get to the matchups and tell you why tonight might have been the night that turns the corner. So the Red Sox had, 13 hits the last three previous games? 13 hits tonight. See, when you start putting the crooked numbers up, you're up 6-0 in the second inning. It becomes a very quick and easy game. I've been talking about how these pitchers seem to go six and the bullpen leaks. Yeah, Garrett looked good tonight, but you only brought in Whitlock to pitch the remaining three. Now, outside of the headhunting shot that he almost took, it was just like the guy went really old school, Garrett did. 5 hits in 6 innings, 4 Ks, 3 walks, 91 pitches. So even under 100 pitches effective, was not out of control as we've seen earlier in the year. And the bullpen got the night off. Like no reason to get the closer even some work. Why bring in Barnes? I mean, eventually he's going to have to throw at some point again. And you really don't hope he gets that chance this weekend, but it does need to happen pretty soon. So Xander in the DH, 3-for-3, 3 RBI, and a walk. I mean, you just couldn't stop him tonight. And they just feed off of you. J.D. Martinez, 3-for-4. RBI himself. Good for Bobby Dalbec, 2-for-4. 2 RBI. No Franchi tonight. Probably doesn't help that my man Duran hit another bomb down in Worcester today. I would like to see the Sox continue, I'm sure you would, to start getting the wins at home. They're 11-11 at home, 23-16 overall. But with an A's team that you probably should have won two out of three versus, you know, avoiding a sweep. The Angels team, this is what you want to see. Griffin Channing takes the mound tomorrow night. Nick Pivetta goes for the Sox. He's back off of, I hate saying the COVID list, but because he had taken the COVID shot, you just don't know if you need a day or a week to recover. I know. Gosh. Not a whole lot of fun. But it could be pretty fun tomorrow night against Griffin Channing for the Angels. 5.19 ERA, 3-2, 26 innings, 26 hits, 16 runs, 10 walks. Almost really a repeat of what happened tonight. And I'll give the Red Sox credit. They attempted to do it last night, jumping on them, the A's, in the first inning. Just that they just got anxious. Tonight, relaxed a little bit. I even saw some people sneak up to the plate a little. Justin, producer tonight, man, welcome back.
Thank you, KJ.
Man, it's last night I was screaming how like the Red Sox should have been moving up on the plate. Seems like they moved up on the plate. I'm not saying it's because of me. They've got a manager who gets paid millions of dollars to probably tell them the same thing. I get like 0.00027% of that to recommend that stuff here on the air at WEEI. The Red Sox have to win these next two against the Angels. They have to. You now have in front of you a team that is underperforming. We're not talking about a division leader that's figured out how to win, but we're talking about a team that's overbloated and has figured out how to lose. Now, what can be dangerous about that is you get hot for a couple of games if you're the Angels and you're the Sox and you feel like you're back at kind of square zero over these last previous three out of four games where the hitting was just kind of atrocious. Again, the starting pitching has been showing up, and that's going to be key as you're trying to give this middle relief situation, which was pretty bad over a couple of days. They need some nights off. They need to kind of regroup and figure out what is really what. And these bats looked really good tonight. Saturday night, Angels go out with Dylan Bundy. 5.03 ERA, 39 innings pitched, 35 hits, 23 runs. This should be lunch. Now, this sounds a lot like what I was saying when the A's came in, but literally, this is a situation where the team is bad, and it's bad all over. 617-779-7937 or the text line 37937. Some even better news. Not only did the Yankees lose, but the Yankees are now in third in the East. Thanks to the Rays. The Rays did them in tonight, so now it's Sox, Blue Jays, Yankees. I was concerned we would be waking up tomorrow swept by the A's and tied with the Yankees going into the weekend. Could have made for some pretty stiff necks and stiff bats going into a series with the Angels, who, let's just face it, I think they've won 16 games total, somewhere in the Orioles number. I would still like to see, though, at some point, an attempt at a big bet. I know this team is probably not going to spend. It's the whole idea. But we saw the underspend last year. And that was understandable because of the pandemic. But kind of in a similar situation with the Patriots where it's kind of like, okay, the fan base isn't really going to dig upon not making a move after everybody understood last year was just kind of a throwaway. I would never say that because people actually had to play the game. But let's face it, 15 years from now, who is the manager of the Red Sox in 2020 is going to be a great quiz question that will stump people possibly for the entire Final Jeopardy. But I think the fan base says, okay, in their mind, this team was only supposed to be so much going into the season, but now you're starting to see glimpses of things that Hein Bloom may have to consider. If Xander or JD is having an off night, is there another bat we can obtain that can eliminate that pressure. Because if you get another bat that eliminates some of that pressure, then you most likely see Christian Vasquez see better pitches, or Rafael Devers see better pitchers that he can better pitches that he can hit.
Hi, Gary.
What was that?
Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
Fine. How are you doing? How did it feel to get 6 runs early?
So what's happening right now? Full disclosure.
Amazing. I love it every single time.
In another room, the audio's coming through. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been caught. All right, there we go. We'll hear from Alex Cora in postgame here shortly. I think that's what's just starting up right now. So I didn't want to alarm you. Just all of a sudden you hear some talking going behind me. I have no idea. I don't want to shoot arrows at Justin. That's not how I operate. But you will hear from Alex Cora here in several minutes in the postgame from tonight's victory, 8-1 at Fenway. Plus, fans are ready to get into the stadium here. I really think that because the team outperformed in these first 27 games that I mentioned, and let's just face it, if they got swept tonight, that's one of those things you say, maybe the team isn't ready for prime time. But the way they showed up tonight and the way they were aggressive, you know, if you get a 3-game lead, is it worth protecting in going and finding another bat? You might have heard on the broadcast tonight in terms of where does Albert Pujols see himself in all of this now. I think it might be too much grandeur in his mind because he says he doesn't want a bench roll. It's like, well, bro, you got DFA'd because you were stinking it up in the field. You're just really needed to be kind of a guy that can platoon in, platoon out, be a bit of a club leader, put some pressure on a pitcher in sometimes a crucial moment inside the game in the fifth inning or sixth inning, a crucial at bat. That's what Alex Pujols can provide at this time. I think he could provide that for the Red Sox, but just hearing saying that he doesn't want a bench role, it's kind of like, bro, 198 gets you on the bench. And he's probably looking at Franchi. He's like, well, Franchi's in there at 150. Yeah, but bro, you don't play outfield. So 617-779-7937. All right, I'll tell you what. When we come back, we'll get some press post-game from Alex Cora coming up. The Celtics, what a mess at what they're not going to be doing. It's absolute mess. That's still to come here on Late Night here on WEEI.
More of what you want to hear. EEI Late Night with KJ on EEI.
Red Sox review with KJ here on WEEI. 8-1 victory, ending a 3-game skid against the A's. Avoid the sweep. Team looked good tonight. Jumped on them early, first inning. Chavis with the double to get the game started. Almost kind of repeat of last night, except for the anxiety kind of settled down. The bats got rocking. Sander went over the fence. All happy for those to be had. And look, this team is making great contact with the league. I think is averaging .236 as the batting average. The Red Sox, after, of course, last couple of nights been an anomaly, like in the .260s. I mean, going into the night, Sander with 46 hits, JD with 45, Verdugo with 39, Raffy with 36, Christian Vasquez with 30. And you got 3 more in the 20s, and then you get to the bottom of the lineup, right? But overall, what you want to see in a team that, you know, has a lot of gap power, a lot of singles, a lot of moving the runners, the ability of the team is there. The starting pitching is been as best as you could ask for, minus maybe an inning or an inning and a third or two. So here's Alex talking about the game tonight.
Just preparation, and, you know, we face a tough lefty. He's really good. He came, you know, his last outing was solid, but I think Michael set the tempo. Hit the ball hard, get to second. Alex hit the ball hard. JD got a hit, and then Xander, he was hunting a pitch in his zone and put a good one. And you just kept rolling. And it was cool to see them add on and give Garrett margin for error. You know, we were able to do a lot of things today. Gary going 6, Whitlock going 3, and overall a good game.
What turned Garrett around to that four starts? He'd been a completely different pitcher.
Just keep working his craft. He simplified his windup. Okay. He's more direct to the plate. He's making more competitive pitches, and good things happen when you do that.
Thank you.
Alex, the fact that the Chavis double started for you guys was kind of a hustle double where, you know, he was running full speed from the time he left the box and seemed to be aiming for a double the whole time. How much did that energy provide, maybe?
It helps. It helps. I mean, three games in a row, we didn't do too much, and right away, you know, he hits a missile and just kept running. He saw Laureano, you know, he didn't come up clean with it, and he kept going, and it just set the tempo for the whole night.
Alex, you talked about it before, but how big are those plays by Renfro in right field, the relay and just the sort of just the way he's playing out there?
I think not too many outfielders go after that ball in a game like that, right? And he's hustling all the way. The last play was amazing. And now he's playing right field, and it's pretty amazing. His eye opening. I don't know. I saw the stat about defensive run saves already in right field. And I've seen some good ones play here, but this guy, he puts work. You got to see him in batting practice. He always tagging, creating angles, pretty similar to Jackie when he was here, you know, in center field. Like, he was all out and trying to see the angles and what he can do. You know, do I catch it like this or like that, you know, or he does some crazy stuff too. But he enjoys playing right field, and it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to watch him.
In my mind, Eric, he's almost like Dwight Evans in right field.
Wow, that's a great compliment, Johnny, especially coming from you.
Alex, obviously you're never worried about Bogaerts, you know, but how do I, you know, keep him off his feet tonight and see him have a big night at the plate like he did?
Yeah, it's good. I'm trying to convince him to DH tomorrow again, but and no, he wants to play short. But it was good to see him hunting a first pitch and put a good swing on it, and then he just kept adding on. You know, I think the walk tells you who he is. You know, if he was somebody else, you know, he'd try to hit the ball in the corner and see what happens, you know, go for the cycle. But he took his walk, and it was a solid night for him.
Yeah, the team looked good tonight. Xander, I mean, if it's going to mean you almost hitting for the cycle, then DH again tomorrow, why not? I mean, look what it did putting JD out and left. He went 3-for-4. Share the love. But yeah, today was the perfect day to turn this around, coming up against an Angels team that their team ERA is 5-something, 5.23. So you want to have a game where the team's exploding, everybody's hitting, and who's coming in tomorrow night? People give up a lot of hits and a lot of runs. Look, I'd said about Oakland, what was going to be tough about them were they would get at you in the third or fourth or the sixth inning. That's literally what happened the last couple of nights, and then tend to shut it down and make it very hard for you to come back in the seventh. I did say that. That's what did happen. They're just managed well. And so for an Angels team that's coming in, let's just call it what it is. They're kind of trying to make more of an appeal to get people in, and the team hasn't. Now, Ohtani is, you know, that's just a freak of nature, and that'll be enjoyable to see if he plays. Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani. I combined the two because they call it Showtime or something like that, or something like that. I think that's his nickname. I mean, it'd be cool to see a guy come in who, I don't know if he's going to pitch. He's not scheduled to pitch the first two games, but maybe come in place in relief and be like, oh, what? Come in from right field? But the team's 16 wins. 16-20 going into tonight. Just 300 hits? Wow. It's almost 10 hits a game. So this is a team that the Red Sox should say, okay, what we did last night, even what you did in the second to last game with the A's, we got to jump on them in front, get the lead early, move people across bases, everything will look very beautiful. All right. Your thoughts on the Sox? Do you think the trend's moving in the right way? You want to see some more to make you feel a little better? What are your thoughts on what the Red Sox are doing? They still have a losing record at home. But I think they'll be able to turn that around over the weekend. 617-779-7937 or the text line 37937, the second hour here on WEEI Late Night. Next.
Time now for EEI Late Night with KJ.
I think something drastic needs to happen. It's not firing Brad Stevens. I think Marcus Smart has ran his course. I think guys are tired of hearing his voice in the locker room. I think guys are tired of his ill-advised shot taking at times, some of his turnovers that he have playing outside of his body. If Marcus Smart could just be a star in his role, and that means bringing that defensive intensity, bringing that diving on the floor for loose balls, those hustle plays, and on the other end, not trying to do so much. I think you go seeing people body language, when he tries to do too much, it deflates the team. So I do think the Celtics need to look into moving probably Marcus Smart this summer, to be honest with you. I think it's ran its course.
The second hour, WEEI Late Night. It's KJ. Thank you so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937 or the text line 37937. We'll talk more Sox here shortly. Plus, the Bruins kick off their playoff run Saturday night against the Capitals. So I've been calling this team the social media Celtics. And the reason why I've been doing that is because it just seems like when it comes to bringing the lunch pail to the job, it doesn't seem like it's always there. Seems like you're trying to make up for things messed up early on. You know, if you've ever been in a relationship where you did something really wrong, the gift never really makes up for the wrong. It felt like a lot of games were that way. And even when you remember during the season when Marcus Smart was out, there was a piece of us saying, like, look, you know, this team needs Marcus Smart back. But the hope was that he would not come back and do a whole lot of shooting that lasted all of probably 5 to 7 games. So I'm like, well, what is it with this Celtics team that you would think they would have a losing record and are not going to the playoffs? Now they are not going to be the sixth seed. They will be in the play-in game. It's just a matter, are they playing as the 7 or the 8? I hope there's no slippage to the 9. So I found something that says this might make a little sense. Days of the week. It's a song my kid sings during her virtual song, Days of the Week. There's Sunday, then there's Monday. There's Tuesday, then there's Wednesday. This is the Celtics issue. Check this out. On Sundays, this is why a lot of the games we've seen, we've been like, ugh. I think the New Orleans game where they blew the lead. On Sundays, the Celtics are 7-8 on the season. Mondays, 2-3. Tuesdays, 5-6. Wednesdays, 6-9. Thursday, 4-1. Friday, 9-7. Saturday, 2-1. It's a weekend ball club. Friday night, hey. Saturday night, hey. Rest of the week, oh my God. It makes sense now. You're like, this team seems to win some games and lose the games you can't explain because it's happening in the middle of the week. And think about how you feel whether you're going physically to your job or doing the at-home stuff. You're like, okay, man, it's just been a long Tuesday. We pop on the Celtics game. 5-6. Frustration. Oh, middle of the week. Hump day. Get me a couple of brewskis. Order a pizza, your week's almost over. Celtics 6-9 on Wednesdays. 9-7 on Friday. 2-1 on Saturdays. 7-8 on Sundays. Just leading you into what's just been feeling like a bad week every time the Celtics get on the court. And so the thing with Marcus Smart now is, where this was a highly desired tradable asset, even a year ago. Now, teams would have to wonder, like, what would you get in return for Marcus Smart at this point? nobody's coming for the shooting. Okay, so he's averaging more points. And his field goal percentage is up a little. But man. Man, oh man, oh man. I just don't know what to do. What does this team become? What was yesterday? Wednesday? My point exactly. Wednesdays, 6-9. They lost to the Cavs last night. It wasn't even close. I seriously believe that it isn't so much of who you trade from the Celtics, Brown or Tatum. I don't think it's a situation of that as much as it is who raises their hand and says, I want out of here. Because the pieces that you feel have to be moved are not very movable now. If you said going into last year, hey, we could deal you Kemba and Marcus Smart, well, some were thinking that was almost good enough to get James Harden. You couldn't do that deal for Harden now. You probably couldn't do that deal for Spencer Dinwiddie. The team's falling apart. I don't get it. I don't get it. And here's why I don't get it. So a lot of Brad Stevens gets a lot of knock that, hey, look, this guy's never coached superstars. It's a superstar-driven league. His demeanor is not set up for it. But it hit me like just a day ago. I'm like, well, he's been these superstars, Brown and Tatum's, only coach. Like, they don't know any other coach in the league. And so bringing in another coach when this has been the only voice that all of these players have heard, it's just going to be weird. So it isn't Brad. Then I think I was watching something. I don't know what it came. Maybe it came up in my Twitter feed with Danny Ainge hitting the winning shot when he was at BYU against Notre Dame, a stacked Notre Dame team, I remember at that time. It was kind of like, okay, Danny should be the one that understands that the quality of play on the floor is a reflection of the GM. Like I've said, Danny went to Portland to play a role. That team went to the NBA Finals. Danny went to Phoenix to play a role. That team went to the NBA Finals. Where's the role on this team? Where's the roles? You've done it before. Maybe it's just indicative of where the game is and how some of the best players are not coming out of college or you're not seeing them in college for 2 or 3 years. I mean, when you think about it, Tatum was one and done. So, arguably, this would have been like his senior year in college. And nobody stays for their senior year if they're that good. So, you literally have guys learning on the job while the identity of the franchise is slowly going, stretch. The identity of the franchise is almost gone. What about this Celtics team do you recognize as, say, Celtics basketball? I think that's why people tend to like Peyton Pritchard, because you're like, okay, this guy hustles and everything, but you got to call it what it is. It's literally Rocky going up against Ivan Drago the first time. And everybody knows what Rocky had to do to beat Drago the second time. The Balco program. So in a game that's changing and where superstars don't necessarily see franchises as a big deal, to a lot of them, what's the difference between playing for the Sacramento Kings and for the Boston Celtics? And it's kind of different with baseball, you know. I mean, look, Oakland's looking for a new home, despite all that history they had in the 70s and into the 80s. But that's because of locale and economics. You don't have that in the NBA. I mean, Russell Westbrook and KD made themselves a star in Oklahoma City. So I'm sure the fan base is like, are the Celtics chopped liver? A caller called a few nights ago, mentioned it's just really tough seeing how the Lakers get all this pub. And I think what it comes from is just there's always been this feeling of what people have perceptively seen and what they want to go to. And you'd hate for the Celtics to lose out on those things because those kids who were watching Kobe and Shaq, they're now in the league. Now, even though we won the championship here in Boston in 08, they weren't seeing a lot of different players that they were playing on video games, let's just call it what it is, coming to Boston. And so now here we are almost at ground zero. When I saw these, Justin, how you doing, man? Thank you so much for being here tonight on Late Night. Always appreciate you, man. This is what, our second time working together?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, I get my shot tomorrow. I get my last shot tomorrow. I don't like discussing that stuff out loud too much just because it's one of those conversations that suddenly spoils the food at the table. You know, so I don't tell people one way or the other what to do or what not to do. You know, I just like to be a compliance guy. And so that's why I won't be here tomorrow night, because I had to tell the powers that be. I was like, look, I don't want, because it would be kind of bad coming in here not feeling well. I was like, well, why don't you feel well? Isn't that what everything on the door says not to walk in for? Like, it's like that fine line. Like, I don't feel well because I got my second shot. However, I'm at work because I got my second shot. You just have to stay away.
Well, it's perfect timing, isn't it? Now that if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask.
And I understand that. You know, like, I don't wear a mask around my wife because I think that would kind of be kind of like a conversation piece. Like, what have you really been doing at our place up in Boston? Baby, I protect myself at all times. It's me. No, but that's a good thing for the country right now. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because some people will be like, yeah, I got both of them. Oh, yeah, you want to show me some papers? That's where it's going to get interesting. I'm just saying. So when I get mine tomorrow, you know, honestly, I was like, man, I'll get myself a nice bottle of Riesling and just hang out with me in my shot and be like, no, dummy, you'll make it worse. You'll dehydrate yourself. You have the worst headache in the world. You'll be sleepy as I don't know what. You'll be like the Celtics on a Wednesday night. Just 6-9-ing it. That didn't come out right. Just losing record it. Unbelievable. The Celtics only have a winning record during the week on Fridays and Saturdays. I think there was
one. Don't we all?
But that's so bad because unlike a lot of other cities, I've lived in a few. I've lived in D.C. I've lived in Charlotte. I've lived in Atlanta. I lived in Boston 20 years ago. I lived here 20 years ago. I've lived a few places without giving out too much stuff to be like, let's go get his identity. Then they turn back around and be like, we're sorry. We tried to steal your identity. We actually lost money. Some places just don't care about an NBA game on a Tuesday night. That's not the situation here. Even with the Sox game, before I come into work, I'm watching it, and I'm like screaming at the TV. Yes, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm not saying that's what everybody does, but that's just the energy that exists here. And it's got to be tough for the fan base to see the person watching the game having more energy than the people in the game. And that's not been something you've been used to. I mean, Paul Pierce carried a lot of sack of potatoes for many years, but still put up points and efforts through some bad and lean years, and it's highly appreciated. You would ask, who is that player now for the Celtics? The answer is, I don't know. I feel bad that I joked a few nights ago that when I mentioned that if you took how many points the Celtics average versus their opponents, the game would be 112-111. Where I then asked, what is 24.2, I think, minus 112 with Jaylen Brown gone? Yeah, the Celtics show some heart against the Heat. Jimmy Butler was out and Tyler Hero grabbed 11 rebounds in that game. But then last night, Kevin Love of old showed up. You would have thought he had a Bruins jersey on. That's how he was looking last night. It's like, oh my gosh, is he allowed to wear the Bruins jersey that's the same color as the Red Sox Marathon Special Edition extremely expensive jersey in a Cavaliers game? He did. No. We get to the trade exception stuff with Danny. I'm going to start pushing these chips a little on Danny. I've held off because he's got a resume of doing some right things. But now it's starting to say, you know, buddy, you know, you put the Lego blocks together. You put them together. I think with the trade exception, you're like, okay, you need to go get somebody who can grab boards and can supply some points. They don't need to supply all the points in the world. And, you know, okay, Andre Drummond's a little half sleep out in L.A. But if you've got all those circus acts around you, you might fall asleep too. Here, you'd say, okay, we need you. But another shooter? And Marcus Smart also thinks he's a shooter? Who rebounds the ball? You know, if you've ever played it like a single hoop by yourself when you were a kid, let's say you have a little brother or something like that, at least they would rebound. You're like, hey, rebound and kick it out to me. There's nobody to rebound. And then here's what's crazy. If it becomes a 7-8 game against the Hornets, they have size. They have length. All we would have is Tatum and Marcus Smart thinking about shooting threes. Almost to the point where you're like, you know, like if you lose the 7-8 game, can you just bypass the last game? Just can you? Why even play in that 9-10 charade? Now, 1-2-3 Cancun. 617-779-7937. Riyadh. Am I saying that correct? Did I say that correct? Riyadh? Go ahead and pot him up because I have him on.
Yeah.
There he is. Okay.
Yes, I can hear you. You kind of touched on what I was going to touch on, which is Danny Ainge. I think the biggest issue we've been missing, we keep pointing at Marcus Smart, Brad Stevens, all of that. I think the issue we've all been missing is Danny Ainge has been seeing all these issues that has been happening on the team. But Danny Ainge values these guys that, like, you know, you got a bunch of Teslas, but he has a bunch of Toyota Corollas. And he's playing like he has a gold hand. I think Danny Ainge got too comfortable with not making moves and overvaluing his assets. And every year we keep getting teased and he's not showing anything. I feel like Danny Ainge is no longer, you know, he's not as aggressive. I don't know what it is. I think Danny Ainge is getting a lot of breaks. It's easy to point at Marcus Smart. It's easy to point at certain players, whatnot, Brad Stevens. But Danny Ainge needs to be looked at hard. I love Danny Ainge. I'm a big Danny Ainge guy. I think Danny Ainge, whenever this trade next year, like when this trade season comes up, whatever, Danny Ainge keep playing like he's got a bunch of tests. I'm currently looking for a car. The car's like in my head right now. But he acts like he can't trade anybody. He's like, you gotta give something to get something. And Danny Ainge has been consistently every year. Gets us a little bit of tease there, whatever it's Fournier, whatever it is, but that ain't going to cut it.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of like getting around Danny Ainge.
Riyadh, thanks for the call, man. Yeah. That is one thing about the area, is sometimes you can get very comfortable on the couch job. You've been there 20 years plus, very high belief in, hey, put in his time. He should probably choose when he gets to leave. And let's just face it, Belichick, Brady, that whole thing kind of spoiled other people. Like Danny's thinking like, well, if those guys could stay around, I mean, hell, they're not even in town. They're in Foxborough. I'm here. Danny's probably thinking, well, why can't I stick around? And at this point, let's face it. Are they going to say, you know, Danny, if you don't make some better moves, we've got to move you? Who really? Yeah, it doesn't really happen in this town where the young new guys, even if it's the ownership, right? You don't come and tell the person who's been there for years upon years upon years. I used to work with someone who's been years upon years upon years here. You're not telling them when to go. They'll let you know when they are going. In fact, that person's been here so long, Justin, I can just whisper in my head who I'm talking about, and you'll know who I'm talking about. There's just some people who you're not going to tell you're going to go if they've been here for 45 years or so. Even if you're the new ownership. And I think Danny recognizes that. Who is going to tell him he's going to go when everything else around him is new? I mean, Doc Rivers wasn't going to be afforded that. I mean, if Doc was still here, Doc, it's been great, but, you know. But they're not telling Danny this. And so whether he makes bad moves or worse moves, because that's where we are now. And like the old songs, what have you done for me lately? It's not like Jalen and Jason just got here yesterday. They've been here for a little bit. Some people were kind of like, oh, Danny, you know, IT is the heart here. I was supporting Danny, and I was like, Danny's right. Don't give him the max. The injuries may catch up, but guess what happened? It happened to two other players after that you went and got. It's like, it's crazy. Like, think about it. Isaiah Thomas not being kept financially and from a health standpoint made sense. Then what happens? Two more guys come in at around the same money. They got health issues. Gordon Hayward, which, let's just face it, that was just tough to see, right? No one saw that coming. And then you suddenly had something on your roster that was valued too high and can only produce at such a level, right? Like if Gordon's like at 30, then after the injury and the recovery, you're like, it's not the same player, still a quality player, but not a 30-something million player. Literally what Gordon did was go and be in Charlotte with Kemba Walker was. And then we got Kemba Walker who seemed, I think he played every game, practice, preseason, scrimmage, charity game for the Hornets. That, like, when he gets here, you know, the tires are kind of worn. But that's a financial cost. And now these are pieces that you can't move. And the rest of the league wasn't really thrilled with Danny being able to get IT to Cleveland and not really fully disclosing, like, why you weren't going to hold on to him. And so now you go from Trader Danny to, like, they would rather Trader Joe than trade with Danny at this point. And who steps in and says, hey, Danny, we've got a logjam here with this franchise right now. People aren't coming, and we don't have assets to trade to get people to come. It almost feels like if you're trading someone to come here, it's like the kid who doesn't want to leave the amusement park who's screaming, no. I don't know. I want to go to the Celtics. No. That's not good for a franchise that's, if there are four pillar posts of the league, the Celtics are one of those posts. It can't be easy seeing the Knicks just smile with a bunch of bench players playing hard. Like, you're like, oh my God, if the Celtics just had that intensity like the Knicks have, how great could this team be? But no, you want to lose games on Wednesday nights and ruin my good Sammy.
Now back to EEI Late Night with KJ on EEI.
Alex, obviously you're never worried about Bogarts, you know, but can I, you know, keep him off his feet tonight and see him have a big night at the plate like he did?
That is good. I'm trying to convince him to DH tomorrow again, but no, he wants to play short. But it was good to see him hunting a first pitch and put a good swing on it. And then he just kept adding on. You know, I think the walk tells you who he is. You know, if he was somebody else, you know, he'd try to hit the ball in the corner and see what happens, you know, go for the cycle. But he took his walk, and it was a solid night for him.
Late Night WEEI, part of the WEEI Sports Radio Network. It's KJ, it's Alex Cora talking about Xander turning it around tonight. And boy, did he turn on that fastball. Oh my gosh, that was a beast of a shot. That was one of those that might have made it on the pike if the pole wasn't there. One of those rare shots like, doop, someone's car got hit. But felt good to see the Red Sox come alive 8-1 tonight. ending a three-game losing streak, avoiding the sweep, and going into the series with the Angels, who are last in the American League West with 16 wins and a team ERA of 5.23. So the story with Albert Pujols is that today he finally cleared waivers, meaning nobody claimed him. This makes it interesting because whoever now picks him up will only have to pay him about $580,000. A prorated share of the $570,550 major league minimum. So that now makes him pretty attractive. Now I know he's 40, said he's Albert Pujols. He does have 7 home runs inside of this slump. 7 for 43 in his last 43 at-bats. So I'm like, okay, well, let me look at Bobby Dalbec, right? Because this is who he may platoon with. So let's see. 1, 2, 4. 4 hits in the last 7, 12, 16, 20, 23, 27, 32. So 4 hits in 32 at-bats. That would be 8 hits in 64. So 7 for 43 or projected 8 for 64. I'm no expert. This is just how I was pretty good at baseball. I made it pretty well through high school. It helped me with math. Great that Bobby Dalbec had a great night tonight. He'll add a couple more hits to that, right? So if Albert Pujols isn't going to be paid the big money that he thinks he should be paid, then why could this guy not be a platooning first baseman? It's just something to think about. Plus, the A's are in town. It'd be a great thing like, ta-da, we signed him, and he'll be here, and he starts next week. You don't start him off on assignment at all, but you do have to start thinking about what happened over the past 3 games, where if teams know that they can get to the bottom of that lineup with no fear and just kind of hum it in there and know that it's not going anywhere, that pitcher's kind of like, just walk 3, 4, and 5. Take a chance. But the Red Sox are facing some ideal pitching tomorrow night in Griffin Channing. 3-2, 5.19 ERA, 26 innings, 26 hits, 15 earned runs, 10 walks, 30 strikeouts. Okay. Yeah. It's pretty bad when your right fielder has the best ERA on your team for the Angels. So the Red Sox have to continue what they've done tonight, and again, what I'd mentioned, the first inning of last night, just without the panic. Just know that you have people who are pitching that are already on the ropes just being in Fenway. Take advantage of that. 617-779-7937. It's WEEI Late Night with KJ. Paul in Westfield, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm much better than 4 or 5 days ago when my phone went crazy. Classy Freddie Blassie blew up the airlines, and we went into an 0-3 dumpster dive pitch like at the beginning of the year. You know, ironically, you did mention that.
Well, you know, Paul, the good thing is I would know what you're talking about because you called. But others would be like, huh, I wasn't here the other night, but... Yes, it's good to hear you on a landline phone tonight.
Yes, sir, it certainly is. Hey, I can't wait to joke about it. I didn't know you and Villani were tag team partners. Your Randy Savage is spot on, and you're 6'4". I assume Professor Barrett's 4'6", and I'm 5'7", and 220. Mike Tyson, Bruce Lee, and Hoist Gracie in one. Let's have a handicap match. You two against me.
Paul, en anglais, en anglais, en anglais. Awesome. So what about the Red Sox? Are you concerned where things are going? Do you think they're turning the corner? What are you thinking?
Well, I think you said it best. As Picard would say, pump the brakes. It's 3-game slide. It's not a 7 or 8 game slide. Like the coach mentioned, imagine with a 160-plus game season and then some of those trips where they get no sleep. The offense clearly disappeared for 3 games, and then 7-1 and more tonight, they were back. in that many game season, you're going to have little what you call burps or blips in the road. But like you also mentioned, our pitching was still really good. It just sucks when you have a good pitching performance and then the offense can't get out of the dump, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to lay eggs, especially when you don't have big boppers in the lineup. I mean, Devers is what's considered probably the most dangerous long ball threat in the lineup, yeah. But still the discipline of chasing pitches and not really putting a whole lot of fear in these pitchers. I have to give the pitchers credit when Rafael's come up in situations where he could do a lot of damage. It seems like they pull out the mental notebook and say, this is what he likes to chase. This is where he can, and they've been going to come at some of those soft spots. Paul, thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
All right. Yeah. When he calls and does classy Freddie Blassie, he makes the show's demographic go from, say, like 43 to 93. Your pencil neck cake. But it's always good to hear from Paul. I'm glad he got his phone fixed. This day and age. I know what it's like. For the longest, I had an iPhone 6. I just don't turn these things in freely. I don't. I watched George Orwell's 1984 when I was a kid. So I do you turn your phones in, Dylan? I mean, I'm sorry, you look just like Dylan. I'm sorry, Justin?
I've had the same phone for a while now, so I kind of stick with it. Though I miss my home button.
I do miss mine, too. I was kind of like, I don't want to do the facial ID thing. I saw Minority Report with Tom Cruise. I don't want to do that. So, you know, I do miss my fingerprint because it's my fingerprint, you know. And then it was kind of scary when I saw in the update, it's like, hey, Apple Watch can recognize you with your mask on. I'm like, that's in the update? Like, there's, I don't do the face ID. But like I was saying, and Alex Cora said the same thing tonight, jump on the team early, good things happen. You can play the sound. I'm sorry. I'm so used to, like, dishing it off like Magic Johnson, like no look. Then I realized I had to look. So, yeah, play the cut from Alex Cora talking about how them jumping on the ball early made a big difference.
Just preparation, and, you know, we faced a tough lefty. He's really good. He came, you know, his last outing was solid, but I think Michael set the tempo. Hit the ball hard, got to second. Alex hit the ball hard. JD got a hit, and then Xander, he was hunting a pitch in his zone and put a good one. And just kept rolling. And it was cool to see them add on and give Garrett margin for error. You know, we were able to do a lot of things today. Garrett going six, Whitlock going three, and overall, a good game.
Yeah, from the text line, 37937, DFA Franchi. It's closer than it is further, I think, with him now being out of the lineup for two games. I think what they're looking at is seeing, okay, if Duran down in Worcester, or over in Worcester, so used to saying down in Pawtucket, over in Worcester. I hate when people say, oh, yeah, we went down to Maine. It's not down, it's up. I just want to make sure I'm correct on that. I've said here that Franchi might be a handful of at-bats away from the team making a decision. Now, I think at the same time, if you're going to bring somebody up and you don't necessarily know what they're going to do at the major leagues, it would be a great time to also get Albert Pujols as well, because at least you know what he can do in the major leagues. So if you're bringing someone up that's new, because last thing you want to do is bring them up, you got rid of Franchi, and now the guy who comes up is doing 230. You're like, oh, you look good at the new ballpark. You got to head back down there. You want to have something that says, okay, we've got some umph coming from two sides. And I think now that I see that Pujols has clearly cleared waivers, see, meaning nobody wanted to touch the remainder of his salary. So now they could get him for the league minimum. If I'm Alex Cora, I'm on the phone with him right now. Like, hey, come to Boston. Come be a face for some of these young guys. You'll be able to platoon. You might play a little bit more, put some pressure on Daubach, who deserves to stay on the team at this point. Bringing up Duran, I think that's going to happen. It could happen on the 17th of this month. It could happen on the 24th of this month. Those are 2 days that the Woo Sox have off. So it might be like, hey, kid, you're not going to be taking the trip with us to Lehigh Valley. You're going up to the show. You play Major League Baseball, the show?
Not Justin? The new one, but I do love the 2020 one.
So this is the first year, I think, that it's back on Xbox.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. Brother, you talk about an addiction. Sometimes it's like, if I pick up the controller, I won't clean my house. And so maybe Duran is on his way to the show. But even when you bring him up, you still kind of inch him in. But I think with Franchi out of the lineup, the Sox may be tipping their hand a little bit. That, hey, especially after hitting another bomb tonight, you're like, okay, can you just turn those bombs into base hits? That's all we need. We don't need you to come up here and hit home runs. We just need you to hit the ball in play, past the fielder. We need some on-base percentage because Franchi's not getting it done. And because you've been in the organization, and of course you know the spring training is set up and the dimensions are kind of like Fenway, it's going to help you learning how to play the wall and stuff like that. I think Duran is, it'd be easy to say, oh yeah, he's ready, because the last thing you want to do is say, oh, everybody thought he was ready and it was too soon. You don't want to take the pie out of the oven too soon. But Franchi is helping that pie cook. That is for sure. But I also think getting Albert Pujols would be an idea. Now that you only get him for $580, that's right down Hein Bloom's alley. Five and some change, sure. $20 million? Oh no, we've already got one of those guys who's not even around here. And he's supposed to pitch every fifth day, so maybe this could be the spark from the minors and getting a veteran in there in his last year of his deal. To get some real meat in that dugout that says, hey, this is how I've seen some things. This is what I see you guys can do. Almost kind of like what the Celtics need. Like, the Celtics need Albert Pujols. At least he could probably rebound as big as he is. All right, we'll wrap this up with a bow here. Next, Late Night, WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
Back to EEI Late Night with KJ on EEI.
When Ken gathered around to that fourth start, he'd been a completely different pitcher.
Just keep working his craft. He simplified his windup. He's more direct to the plate. He's making more competitive pitches, and good things happen when you do that.
Wrapping up the last hour of Late Night here on WEEI, part of the WEEI Sports Radio Network. So thank you throughout New England, Connecticut, which is kind of split on where they are, either New England. It's like, if you like the Yankees, it's just like, just get out. Like down in Stamford and Danbury, you're still New England. Don't let that whole thing of Westchester cross the line fool you. They don't see you like we see you. Thank you so much for checking out Late Night here on WEEI. Yeah, good for Garrett Richards tonight, man, because early in the season, this guy was ready to fight like the 43 on his back. Getting that compact delivery in, being aggressive where his pitch is where he needs to be, spotting the ball, what they say, not trying to aim, but locate. It's two different things. He's doing well with that. Nick Pivetta takes the mound tomorrow night against the Angels, back from a COVID protocol. Didn't have COVID, but got the second COVID shot. Now, like when I hear that, I'm like, great, I go for mine tomorrow. What DL do I get put on? Yeah, by myself. The trick is I have a bunch of flavorless Pedialyte at my house. So if as soon as I get home, I'm just taking that down. I don't want to be dried out and bummed out, because, man, Saturday is just going to be an amazing sports day in the city. And it's kind of set up the right way. Celtics play at 2. So if you need to make the runs to the grocery store and everything, you already know. Get your steaks, get your food, get your potatoes, do what you need to do with the wife or the significant other. Celtics play at 2. Sox at 4:10. Like, hurry up, C's. Let's go ahead and let's end it. And then the Bruins, game 1 against the Flyers in D.C. That place is going to be a rocking for. I don't think they can have too many people down there in the at Verizon Center yet. I lived there too as well. I've lived a lot of places. I even have like that stick with the little bandana on the back, you know. But yeah, it's gonna be amped up. It obviously, let's just call it what it is. The Capitals are a pretty dirty team. They're dirty, but their fans love them. It's kind of annoying. Like, what is a Washington Capital? Like, who is your mascot? A shooting star? What is your mascot? See, Bruin is a bear. It's a bear. It's a bear here. It's a bear at UCLA. What is a capital? Is like that. Is that when I make a little R into a big R? And Ovechkin, oh my gosh. Dude's probably tied to the pipeline crisis. I wouldn't put it past him. I'm glad that thing is over. They paid $5 million in ransom. That was it. Now, someone say, well, $5 million is a lot, but you're thinking for... That's kind of pretty bad thinking. It's, you know, they have to be young and unmarried to want $5 million to potentially find yourself being hunted down by every major intelligence agency. You don't have a girlfriend when you do that. Honey, I want a Tesla. I want three of them. Okay, we make it $45 million. Girlfriend bothering me. So it's good to know that the gas stuff is back up. The president announced today that if you're been vaccinated completely, 2 weeks have passed, you can go maskless indoors and out. I would just say, remember, at one point they had to create the rule, no shoes, no shirt, no service. They just may be adding something to the list. Just know that when you go into a particular store, that's maybe where they are. Patriots. Yeah, just thinking about all these ticket prices that are flying around. I think I saw on WEEIToday.com, somebody sold a pair of tickets for $15,000. Come on, bro. And then Tom's father is now okay, come on. It's kind of getting Kardashian-like. Okay, we know you're coming on the fourth. We know you're coming the fourth week of the season. We know this. Can we just kind of keep the lips quiet, play our games, and then the week leading into it, like they do in British elections. You can't campaign at least until 90 days before the election. Like, let's just kind of like, okay, we know Tom's coming week four. Let's kind of get behind our team if that's what you want to do. Or, it was one thing to see people wearing Brady Tampa Bay gear. I get that. I understand that. But then they bought like the Super Bowl gear. Like, okay, why? Like, you like S&M like that? Like, I don't want to see this. It's kind of tough when you pull for the team and you like the guy. Tom and I's birthdays are a couple days apart. I understand how the man thinks. We can be very petty like Tom and his heartbreakers. That's literally what he's got down there, a bunch of heartbreakers playing in Tampa. I hope they come here and I hope when they get here they're 3-1. Just to have a little stink on it, you know? Yeah, but you didn't come in here with a perfect record. Tommy boy, $15,000. Justin, you want to go to the game?
$15,000 to see him look like an ant. I am all set.
Yeah, I'm big TV. I can see
right,
it all.
They got him in both end zones.
I got them both in my house. And I save $15,001.
Maybe watch from the parking lot.
Yeah, you could.
It's free. And you might have the same view.
Yeah, everything around there is just going to be so packed. So packed. I can't wait for the game. It's going to be good stuff, though. So, Tom, we miss you. Can't wait to see you here. Red Sox tomorrow against the Angels. Let's jump on them again first thing like we did tonight with the A's. Get a winning streak going. B's, get ready for that game one drop. When that puck drops, it's going to be intense. It's going to be a very intense first round match. And the C's, well, they're 2-1 on Saturdays this season. Maybe there's hope. Have a great evening. I think Brian is in here tomorrow, so I can get my COVID shot and not be like, oh, my goodness, hazmat. KJ was in here.
Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate.
Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Be good. Have a great evening.